that the kids read, actually, it was Vicka that read this section in Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. And I want to talk to you for a few moments about why Jesus came into this earth. You know, it's a sad thing in our world today that we still celebrate Christmas, but most people have no idea what Christmas is about. Some folks say it's about Santa Claus. I had somebody ask me the other day, I said, are the kids in your church all excited about Santa Claus coming? Or, I mean, of Jesus coming? they realized what they said, I think. It's not about Santa Claus. Some people say that, now he discovered his voice still. He got his voice to work, and now we can't turn it off, right? But some folks think that Christmas is all about getting gifts, exchanging gifts. I was just thinking about the lady sang. I looked over and saw that cute little girl. I remember when I first went to church. I was a new Christian. She's as cute as she was back then, singing up there in the choir. I'm grateful that when we got saved, we kind of had this unspoken pact that we gave each other. We just don't exchange gifts. I mean, what could you have better than me? That's as good as it gets, right? Some people get all goopy about that, and then they fret and worry about gifts and all these things. Not against giving gifts, but you know, if we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, we ought to give our gifts to Him, not to each other. But that's just always kind of struck me a little bit funny about Christmas time. Some folks say, well, Christmas is all about family. It's about getting together with, if you're right with God, you have turkey for Christmas, right? I mean, it's a second blessing of turkey. Nothing better than a turkey dinner. Those that are kind of lesser down the totem pole get ham, I guess. I don't know what it is about that, but or McDonald's or something. I don't know. But it's all about getting together with family and friends and loved ones. And don't the songs talk about that? But no, it's much more than that. It's about Jesus coming into this earth. God becoming man. And we can debate and fuss, well, was it actually this time of year when Jesus was born? And some people get all bent out of shape over that. Well, I don't think it was winter time and it wasn't this time of year. And you know, I think God purposely didn't tell us what day it was because He didn't want us to worship a day. We're not worshiping a day. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, when God became a man. I prefer to call it the incarnation. It sounds a little funny and you don't see many cards, Happy Incarnation Day. That means God took upon Him human flesh. And that's what we're looking at. In Luke chapter number 2, I want you to look at your Bible with me and look at these verses, beginning in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. Picture the shepherds up there flocking themselves with the glory of the Lord. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want you to look again at that verse, number 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, there's a lot of words that we hear, and we hear them so often we don't really give a thought what those words mean. What does the word glory mean? Well, we'll tell you in a little bit. We've talked about it a little bit in our study in the Luke chapter number 2 this week already on Wednesday night. I guess we didn't discuss it in Sunday school again this morning. but glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's a few words, one of them actually is two words, that I want to focus on in that verse this morning. I want you to know today that the glory, the God of all glory became man. That's what we're talking about this morning. God, the God of glory became man. Let's pray together. Our Father, again, we pray that you would speak to us through the Word of God this morning in this simple yet profound message that the angels sang to announce the birth of the Messiah, Christ. Pray that you would bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. The word glory, I guess the simplest way, and it's really a difficult word to define everything that word means. I guess the simplest way we can say it is it means light, brightness, or magnificence, or majesty. You think of the origin of light. And with light is energy or power. The angel said, glory to God in the highest. When I think of glory, you can see the shepherds shielding themselves from the light of the angels, the glory of God. You think of what it's like. Now, today is not a really sunny day. And if you go outside in a sunny day, you don't want to look right at the sun, do you? Because it's too bright. And everything on our earth depends on that sun. Every bit of energy we have on our earth comes from that sun. And really, we only get, I forget the numbers, it's a billion of the energy that comes from that sun comes to this earth, and it sustains all life on this earth. But I think of the glory of the sun. And not only the sun, the S-U-N, but the glory of the sun. Now, where's Don got a book at our Christmas exchange, gift exchange, of dad jokes. So I'm going to try. This isn't one of the dad jokes, but some of you probably heard this. Now, when I was a kid, today you hear blonde jokes all the time. Is that still okay to tell blonde jokes? I don't know. I don't know if that's politically correct. But the funny thing to me is, they're all the same jokes that I heard when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, they were called Swede jokes. There's a lot of Swedes in Rockford, so it's Swede jokes. And then one of my brother-in-laws, which I just visited with again yesterday, is Polish. So I would tell, he would tell me a Swede joke, and I'd tell him the same joke, except it's a Polish joke, and I told it to him. So I'm going to tell you a Swede joke, if I could, all right? There's these a Russian and an American and a Swede discussing some things one day, and the Russian said, I want to remind you that we were the first ones to send a cosmonaut into space. But really? Wow, that's amazing. And the American said, oh, we can top that. We can do better than that. I want you to know that we were the first ones to put a man on the moon. We put a man on the moon. And not only that, we're going to be the first ones to put a man on Mars. And then finally, the Polak spoke up. Or the Swede. I'm sorry, this is a Swede joke, isn't it? I'm sorry if I just offended the Polaks, all right? The blonde spoke up. Whatever you want to tell it. They spoke up and said, well, we're going to be the first ones to put a man on the sun. And they looked at each other and said, oh, you can't put somebody on the sun. You would fry before you got to the sun. The sun is so hot, it's so bright, you can't possibly go to the sun. And the Swede, the blonde, whatever, said, well, duh, we know that. That's why we're going to go at night. I tried, all right. That's why I'm not a comedian, all right? The glory of God is you think of the brightness of that sun. And you shield yourself from that sun. And when you're trying to drive and the sun's right there, you have a hard time seeing. And you're out on a cold day and that sun feels so nice and warm, or a hot day, it's just sweltering heat from that sun. The God of all glory became man. What does it mean? the God of all, the glory again. I want you to consider the brightness of His glory. Much brighter than we can imagine the sun, the heat, the energy, the light that comes from the sun. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, and I love, I've been spending a lot of time in just focusing on this, these few verses in Hebrews, chapter number 1, this Christmas season, as we call it. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory. You think that God of all glory, of all majesty, of all brightness, of all light came to lie in a manger like this. What an amazing thought that is. Jesus, at the end of His earthly ministry, of course, that baby grew up to be a man. And the only thing that's told us about His childhood is later in Luke chapter number 2. But then we see the story, the narrative pick up where Jesus begins His earthly ministry. And for 3 years, He preached the gospel and healed the sick and even raised the dead, performed many miracles, authenticating His message. Final miracle that proved that He was God was when He raised Himself from the dead. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody could do that but God Himself. But at the end of His earthly ministry in John chapter number 17, the real Lord's Prayer, where Jesus was talking to His Father, and an actual prayer is recorded in the Scripture. What we call the Lord's Prayer is really a lesson on prayer, but this is the real Lord's Prayer. In John chapter number 17, and He says in the beginning of that prayer, and He's talking to God the Father just before His crucifixion, just before His betrayal and His arrest. He's with His disciples, and His disciples hear Him pray these words, I have glorified Thee on earth. He's talking to His Father. I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own Son, or with Thine own self, at the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. That is an amazing statement right there. Jesus is the God of all glory. His life didn't begin when He was born in Bethlehem. He always has been. He is the Creator of the universe. He always was. He always has been. He said, God, I remember when I was with You in Your but I didn't lay aside my glory, but my glory was veiled in humanity. In 1 John chapter number 1, God says, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. Glory. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. God is light. If we're walking in the darkness of this world, we're not telling the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, the brightness of His glory. God of all glory became man. His glory was covered with His human body, which started out as a little. Inside that little baby is God. Now, God didn't cease to be God when He became man. He was fully God, yet fully man. His glory, His deity, was veiled by His humanity. And I think of one instance when Jesus called His three disciples, Peter, James, and John, out of the mount, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. He pulled them aside and said, as He began to speak to them, He was transfigured. In other words, some of His glory started shining. And all of a sudden there was a bright, and they hid their faces from Him because of the brightness of His majesty, His glory. And that God revealed himself a little bit. If he would have revealed his full glory to any one of us in our human flesh, we would cry in a second. We'd be gone. But God just gave them a little picture of his glory. And then there was a word from the Father in heaven said, "This is my Son. Hear ye him." And not that he was a son less equal to his Father, but the Father and the Son were one. Ephesians chapter number 5 talks about us as Christians, that we were sometimes darkness. Not that we were in darkness, but that we were darkness before we were saved. But now are ye light. In other words, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The glory of God lives inside of us. Not like it lived in Jesus, because we have a sinful body. His body had no sin in it, because he had no human father. We get our sin nature from our human father. But the brightness of his glory, spoken of in this verse, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. The peace that he offered is that peace. Oh, we talk about peace. Folks, every politician promises peace. Every beauty queen says, "All I want is peace on earth," you know. Religion say, "Oh, we just love everybody and everybody has peace," but there is no peace on this earth. I love the old Christmas carol that says, that talks about the peace on earth. I can't think of the words now. Longfellow's song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Days," or old familiar carols play. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And I looked around, there's no peace on earth. The peace that God has is far different than the peace that we think of. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." We're living in those days, aren't we? "Oh, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, haters of those that are good." And that's the day that we live in today. But I thought Jesus came to give us peace on earth. I thought we signed this treaty with this country and that country that's going to give a lasting peace. That peace isn't worth the paper that's written. And Jesus said in John chapter number 16, again at the end of his ministry, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have in the world. You will have tribulation." We're in this world. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The peace that God gives is far different than this world has offered. John 14. You're familiar with the verses where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Don't let your heart be. My Father's house, and he's talking about heaven. Later on in that same chapter, he uses that phrase again, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, he's not talking about heaven in that one. We think, well, when we get to heaven, there's going to be no more conflict. You know, we can live in this world of conflict and have perfect peace in our hearts through the person of Jesus Christ. Folks can be at odds with us, but we don't have to be at odds with them. Folks will be angry at us, and we live in a world filled with anger, but we don't have to be involved in that anger. We can live above that through the Spirit of God. Jesus said later in John chapter number 14, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance," talking about the Word of God. "And whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, not as the world..." "For my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you, give I unto you." And then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When we're walking with God, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. We can be at peace with God. We can have that calm. We can have that assurance that God is in control. He knows what he's doing. And we can trust in him. "My peace I leave with you," and that peace is the person of the Holy Spirit. God said, again, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth no peace today. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to know peace. Sure, there's war going on all around us. There's conflict all around us. There's hatred and bitterness, and it seems to be on the rise and multiplying today, but we can still be a perfect home of peace with God. We can be in that the peace of God. I love what Philippians chapter number 4 says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That doesn't make sense. And sometimes folks say, well, how can you be joyful when all the things, how can you smile when all these terrible things are happening? Because the peace of God, the peace of God that's real in our life, that passeth all human understanding. But then notice also, they say goodwill toward men. He said goodwill toward men. Goodwill means favor, kindness, love, brotherhood, charity, the love that he displayed. John 15, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And there's no greater love. I know we use that to, sometimes in our world today, we use that when we talk about military personnel or first responders and people that lay down their life for us, but it's really talking about this little baby that grew up to be a man and gave his life. He let them crucify him. He is life. No one could take his life from Christ. He freely laid his life down in greater love than this. That he would love me, the love that he displayed. I love the verse in Romans chapter number 5. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the religious folks. He died for the ungodly. And until we see ourselves as ungodly, his death doesn't mean anything to us. I think back when I first heard the gospel, I thought, well, that's good for some people, but I'm a good man. I've got religion. I don't need that salvation. I don't need that born-again stuff. I've got religion. Until I saw myself as ungodly, salvation was born to me. And I still, every time I read that verse in Romans 5, I look back at that day when I, for the first time, saw myself, how Jesus described me, and I fell on my face before God and cried out for mercy. And I remember picking up the Bible and reading that verse again, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended. I used to say, well, that means he proved, he demonstrated his love, but it really means much more than that. It means he loved me when there was nothing worthy of love. He loved me first, and I had no reason why he should love me, and yet initiated, he started love for me who was completely unworthy of his love. The love of God was displayed. My favorite verse in all the Bible is 1 John chapter number 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. The shepherd heard the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He is the God of all glory. He's the God of all peace. He's the God of good will. I'll say one other thing that God talks about. The angels didn't talk about it there. He is also the God of truth. We live in a day today that is ever searching for truth, but we're never going to find the truth. We hold the truth in our hand. It's called the Bible. Jesus is truth. He said that I am the way, the truth, life. We live in a world that it used to be, and this is how the world changed in my lifetime. When I was younger, they used to say, well, there's this person's got their side of the story, and this person's got their side of the story. They both think that they're speaking the truth, but neither one of them are right. The truth is somewhere in the middle. That's the way it used to be presented when I was a kid. I remember that. You're old enough to remember that. But today it's much different than that. Today, we got this person over here that says, this is the truth, this is my truth. I don't care what your truth is, this is my truth. And this person over on this side says, well, this is my truth. And both of them are, this is my truth, and I want you to live by my truth. And that person says, well, this is my truth, and we've got nothing but confusion. No one knows what the truth is. Pilate said that he asked Jesus a question while he was on trial before him. He said, what is truth? Jesus, just a couple chapters ahead, said that thy word is truth. This book is truth. A couple chapters before that, he said, I am, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. You want to know what truth is? Come to Jesus. It's not this news network or that news network. It's not that person or that person. It's not this politician or that politician. It's not this teacher or that teacher. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book is truth. Salvation is told us in this book that is true. This child is true. Jesus is true. He came to die for you, for me. I'm so grateful for that day that he died for me. And I'm even more grateful for that day that I recognize his death was for me, not just for people in general. But I realize I am. I'm worthy of nothing but eternal death in hell. I'm separated from God, and I'll be separated from God in eternity in the place of Jesus born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm grateful for that day that I cried out to God for mercy, and says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is only in Christ. My question to you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you possess Him? Does He live in your heart? And just as Luke chapter number 2 says that there was no room for them in the end, is there any room in our heart? Can we allow Him to come into our life and transform us? He is the truth. A lot of folks want to know the truth, but they want their truth, not the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the life. We're talking about a religion. We're talking about a relationship with God. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus came into this world as God, veiled in His humanity. He gave His life on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And He rose from the grave. Raised Himself from the grave. God, and He has power over sin and death and hell. As many as received Him, with them gave He that power to become the sons of God. And one day, we will be raised like unto Him. That's the good news. Right now, we can walk in peace in His presence, in the person of the Holy Spirit, guided by this book that is the book of truth, the person of truth. I'm going to ask you to